listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Tuesday, April 19th, 2016, and it's week 8 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd. Patrick Reardon, the box office guy, is out again this week, but I'm again joined by the footballguys.com writer and hardcore fantasy movie player. You know him as Austin Byers Club, Mr. Austin Lee. Thanks for joining me again.
Hey, Pete, thanks for having me back. The wise and sage-like Matthew Barry once said that the true test of whether you did a good job is whether you get invited back. So I'm excited to get invited back.
You absolutely. You know, we had a good conversation last week and get to have another one this week. You and I are going to nerd out a little bit here later in the program. And I got some cool things to talk about with the sponsor this week as well. They sent me a new thing today. They got a specialty crate coming up that some folks are going to be interested in. But first, let's talk about our week 7 that we just had. So Ari's feeling pretty good about himself right now because Jungle Book did indeed go over $100 million over the weekend and got Best Performer.
That was impressive. I kudos to Ari for his bold Monday night claim. You know, we thought maybe it was possible, but I don't think anyone else really bought it and stood by it. So that, you know, kudos to him. That was a great call.
Yeah, it was indeed. So there was, I think later in the week, there was some sentiment building in the chatter to play to go with the barbershop, with multiple barbershops instead of Jungle Book, and that ended up being a mistake, but it did better than I think most people thought it would, the barbershop, that is.
Yeah, I was right on the fence there, and ultimately, like, my projection for Jungle Book creeped up into the high 80s, which was enough for me to sort of, like, push towards Jungle Book instead of falling into, you know, another trap this week with barbershop, so I dodged a bullet there.
Well, I think if you were among the folks that did Hardcore Henry the week before in week 6, and I'm guilty there, if you then also followed up with Barbershop in week 7, it's probably stinging a little bit right now.
For sure it is. Yeah, those people are wondering, like, do I shoot for the moon here to try to, you know, improve my standing? Like, how do I play these last sort of 5 weeks of the season? And there's some good threads in the chatter about this. I mean, my take is just play your game. Don't pay too close of attention to whether you're doing great or not doing great. Like, you know, just keep getting better at your projections and don't get too crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think there's still plenty of time. There's 5 weeks. You can still see big swings coming up here. But yeah, if you were among those that happened to bet on both of those, then yeah, it's probably hurting. You're not completely out of the woods, but you certainly can't make any more mistakes to that end, I would say.
Yeah, last season I started to feel like I was slipping out of the rankings and I started taking more risks, and I would have gained a lot more ground if I had just sort of put all that noise out of my head and just did what I thought was the best cinema.
Well, perfect cinema this week ended up being Jungle Book, 2 screens of Zootopia, and 5 screens of Deadpool. And, well, we don't have Deadpool this week, so I think it's done tormenting me. I don't think it's going to come back. 303 people played
it. It seemed like whenever you played it, it did poorly, and whenever you avoided it, it did really well.
That's
like,
exactly
you were, like,
what
the
happened.
Deadpool barometer.
That was. I was the anti.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay. I was the bizarro Deadpool barometer. But yeah, 303 people played that, and Phil's article this week, Phil's Fun Flicks on the weekly recap, which ran yesterday, is particularly good this week. He had some good breakdowns about what folks played, how many people played different combinations of Jungle Book, and it really came down to what were you going to do with those other 7 screens, and that's the combination that ended up giving you that extra bonus, and kudos to the 303 folks that found it.
Definitely. There was a lot of options there. So, you know, getting, I like the perfect cinema bonus just because, like, you feel that reward of hitting it perfectly. Like, otherwise you just would have, like, gained I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 on some of the other lineups. It was really
tight. Now, if we look at the overall standings from week 1 starters, the Sandlot is starting to put a little distance,
from other players, currently at 690,280,000. Next up, Nathan Mahoney Cineplex at 679. So it's a bit of distance there. But then in third place, you get down to a movie theater isn't the way home isn't on a movie theater that isn't on the way home. I love that name. At 666,900,000. And then there's a couple other folks clustered right at 665, 664. So there's a group there in the top 10 that are very close. But the Sandlot got a nice lead going right now.
Yeah, anything can happen, I feel like, with some big movies coming up. Sandlot needs to not fall in any of these pitfalls like the Hardcore Henry or the Barbershop pitfalls. I am excited that I'm in 38th place. I feel like I'm still in striking distance. Maybe that's a long shot, but I'm feeling like I'm having a great season.
No, 38, you're definitely still in striking distance with that 5 weeks left. It's certainly better than my 375th.
Nothing to sneeze at, though. I mean, well, I usually feel pretty good when I'm in that top, you know, 1 or 2%.
Well, and you know what? There's an interesting thread this week on sort of what are your goals for playing this game. And different people have different goals. Some people want to do – so Angry Geek started this thread on Monday, about midday Pacific time. And it's, you know, what are you shooting for? And people have different things. Some people are trying to get in that top 100, just do better than they did last season. Some people take it a week at a time. It's kind of a – there's lots of different definitions of success playing this game, I think.
Yeah, my goal is to get in the top 100, and there's two leagues that I care a lot about that I play against my friends in. Right now I'm leading those, but, man, those two leagues mean a lot to me.
Which two are those? Now, you can't just throw that out there and not name names.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. So there's one that's just sort of like I just plastered it out to like my Facebook friends and I was like, hey, whoever wants to join this, go for it. And so it's sort of like family and friends and then friends of friends. I said invite whoever you want to this league. And then the other one is sort of a group of fantasy analysts in that. And so I play against Matthew Berry in that and some other guys that you know, I'm friends with through the Football Guys sort of work that I do. And I really like beating the fantasy Football Guys.
And is that the one that I see you tweeting folks about on Fridays?
Yes, that's sort of like the crew that I tweet with on Fridays. Like as soon as those screens lock, we're all like analyzing our picks and trash talking each other sometimes.
Public trash talking, like it. Now, the second half league started this week, and I promised to give it some more love. So if you were both playing in the second half league and you hit on Perfect Cinema, congratulations, you're in the lead. So there's a whole bunch of folks who are there. But because the system will reward who locked earliest, strictly speaking, the top player in the second half league right now is a quote that I had to look up. The quote is, "Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey." And that comes from a Nicolas Cage movie I've never heard of called The Wicker Man.
Oh, I have heard of that. That is terrible. I haven't seen it, but wow. Yeah, that's an obscure one. Kudos to that cinema name.
Yeah, there's a balance to be struck there with cinema names that's so obscure so as to be unique, but not so obscure that Google couldn't help you find it. And that's right in the wheelhouse there. I like that one a lot.
Exactly. Anytime you can bring up Nick Cage on the podcast, you get bonus points from me.
Same. I like that. Now, with award winners, we've got a couple of tickets winners that have been declared. And because the way this works is they draw the tickets, right, and they have to get confirmation from the person who won. And the people don't always get back to them, so sometimes it takes a while to declare winners. So this is you get a certain number of tickets based on your score, and then there's a random drawing every week. Then the winner gets a Fantasy Movie League t-shirt. So going back to week 4, this is another good movie reference here. Cineplex called The Wet Bandits won the week 4 t-shirt drawing. Do you recognize that one off the top of your head?
The Wet Bandit?
Yes.
Is that Three Amigos? What is
no,
that?
No, close. It's Home Alone. It's remember because they would always put towels in the drains of the kitchens and turn on the great drains. So they called
yeah,
themselves
that was
the
their,
Wet Bandits.
That was their signature.
It was their
That's
signature.
Right. That was their signature.
And
I forgot.
It ended up getting them caught in like 5 other burglaries instead of just the one. But so it was a cool name. Ended up having semi-tragic results for them. And then there's no week 5. That winner's still pending. But week 6, King Yak 42's Cineplex. I have no idea what King Yak 42 refers to, but it's cool to say, so I'm all in.
Yeah, congrats to the Yak.
So that's what's going on with different standings right now and award winners. Now, I teased at the beginning that we've got some cool things going on with our sponsor, Loot Crate. So, Austin, you and I are recording this about midday on Tuesday the 19th. So if you happen to listen to this before 9 p.m. Pacific time on the 19th, you can still get in on the Loot Crate for April. So that deadline is the 19th, 9 p.m. So if you happen to listen to this after that, there's still some cool stuff here. So just as a reminder, so Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate for gamers, geeks, and fans of pop cultures. Delivers cool and often exclusive items like collectibles, T-shirts, gadgets, and other stuff. There's a $45 value in every crate. And there's awesome monthly geek and gamer gear delivered directly to you through this service. So if you go to lootcrate.com/FML, and if you're prompted for a code, you can enter FML and you can get some money off of that one. But they have a cool one, a cool specialty crate going on here between now and the 26th. Let me ask you, Austin, I didn't prep you for this, but do you think it's universal that out of the movies in the Alien series that Aliens is the best one? Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I think the first one is a strong contender, but Aliens is the best one.
So I'll post the link to this in the chatter, and I'm going to include it in the description of this podcast as well. But if you go to lootcrate.com/specialty_crates_collections/aliens-create. So it's a big mouthful, but I'll leave a link for it. There's a special Aliens 30th anniversary crate that Loot Crate is presenting in conjunction with 20th Century Fox. So there's going to be 5 exclusive Alien items in this. So there's going to be a T-shirt, there's going to be some wall art, there's going to be some collectibles, there's going to be a comic, and there's going to be some kind of, they're calling it a fearsome figure. So I don't want to go out and call that an action figure necessarily. But if you're a fan of that series and of that movie in particular, that's something you might want to check out.
That's pretty awesome. I think that hits our target audience pretty well.
Yeah, I think it does. That's a good match there. Now, we didn't get an interview subject this week, and there was some stuff in the chatter that led me to talking about something that you and I have in common, and that is a coding background.
That's true. I do like to program a lot, both for FML stuff and even more so for my fantasy football stuff that I do.
So let me ask you, so what's your programming language of choice for your fantasy football stuff?
Sure. So usually I'll use Python on the front end for scraping data from various websites and then parsing that data and then sending it to a MySQL database.
Okay.
And then I'll use lots of SQL in, crunching the heavy-duty numbers, and then I'll send it back out through Python to sometimes format it into pretty pictures and export HTML automatically so I don't have to code that from scratch. So that's kind of my pathway for how I do that strength of schedule article that I usually do that you brought up last week with the kind of the pretty colors and things for strength of schedule. But that's a lot of what I do, Python to SQL and back to Python.
So this is what I think if people are into coding, it turns them off, is that in our programming world, there's all these acronyms. And if you don't know what the acronyms mean, then you get kind of lost very quickly. But so I wanted to try to boil that down a little bit for Fantasy Movie League use, specifically as it relates to the post that Phil does every Wednesday on Showtimes and the post that Butters does every Friday on Top 100, because I've been writing some programs for them that are going to help that help them collect that data so they can spend more time analyzing it instead of going and manually doing the counting. So let's take the Phil one first. So if you haven't seen it, and I refer to it in my articles every week, going back, I think this was like the September or so, maybe even earlier than that, Phil's FunFlix started to go to Fandango and look at his local media market, which happens to be Louisville, Kentucky, and he felt like theater counts for that get published for movies wasn't as accurate a description as what the watching potential was as the show times, right? Just because you have a movie showing up in a theater doesn't tell you anything about how many times is it being shown at that theater. So he was going to Fandango every week, and he was counting those things manually, and that was just killing me that he was counting them manually. So what I did was, right, so computers, right, are really good at counting, and they're really good at math. So I found a service from the guys at Gracenote. So let's play acronym bingo. So they have an API. So what's API stand for?
Huh? Oh, you're asking me?
I mean,
it's the interface that. Yeah, it's basically the interface that allows you to send commands to some sort of website or software or something, so that you don't have to like dig into the guts of that software. It's
right.
Like a easy way to access cool functionality in the website or software.
So it stands for Application Programmers Interface. So specifically what I did was I wrote a little program against the Gracenote API where I tell it a zip code and I tell it a radius in miles, and it gives me back all the show times for every movie house that fits, you know, that's within a certain mile radius of that zip code. It brings it back to me in a data format called JSON, which you know that acronym? Do you know that one?
I don't know the acronym. I am familiar with JSON, but I have not used it extensively.
JavaScript Object Notation.
Nice.
Is what that stands for. So it's a way of structuring data that made it so that I could write a program. It's a well-known structure. Then I could write my program to then walk through that structure and count the screens for Phil. So I wrote a little web page that I only gave him the address for that he checks on a weekly basis, and that's why he's able to spend more time than talking about what the data really means, as opposed to spending an hour going to Fandango.com and counting it himself manually.
Now, this is pretty awesome, and this is what I love about the power of programming and sort of APIs and scraping and whatnot. Isn't it really tempting to do that for the entire United States and not just Louisville, Kentucky?
So that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up. Because the Gracenote, so Gracenote has spent some money collecting all this information, so they don't give you access to their API for free. So the agreement that I have with them is if I give them a plug in my article every week, which I do, they'll give me a, quote, low number of API calls for free.
Ah.
So
that's a little, I scratch your back, you scratch
exactly.
Mine. I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
So how I'm going to improve that, and this came up in the chatter last week, is I've been doing it for Phil for Louisville for, I don't know, 6 months or so. But I'm going to, I think it was M37 suggested, what about the top 30 Nielsen markets? So in that way,
that would be awesome.
So each API call I make is for one market. And right now, so every week it makes one API call, and Gracenote doesn't care if I just do one. I don't think they're going to care if I do 30. We didn't define what low meant. But 30 still seems pretty low to me. So if I make one API call per top 30 Nielsen markets, I'll be able to construct a table that then shows theater counts. Are not both. Well, it'll do theater counts, and it'll do... it'll break it down just like Phil does in the article. It'll show total show times, 3D show times, and IMAX show times, and put all that into a table that totals it, and then there'll be 30 tables that break it down by each market.
I think that'll be super helpful, because a lot of times the theater counts that you're looking at can be misleading, and you have to make some assumptions as to whether that's going to be multiple screens or not, or smaller venues or larger venues. And I think that if you look at those larger markets, you should be able to extrapolate that out into some decent data if you know the percentage of screenings to theater counts.
Right. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it so it'll do this page that'll show all 30 of those, and it'll total them up. And then I'm going to also save that information in a JSON file, so it'll be structured data, so that if we wanted to do some analysis on that later to try to aggregate things or look at patterns or something, I'll make that freely available to anybody who wants to play around with that.
That's awesome, man. That's super cool of you to do that legwork and then share it with people.
Well, sure. I mean, that's what makes the community better, right? Is if everybody has access to data, then if somebody has some idea of what to do with that data, then they can go play around with it. So that's what I've been doing with the show times.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, the top 100 is similar, where Butters and sometimes Master 8 were going in, and every Friday morning they would count and see what screen combinations did the top 100 count every week. Now for that scenario, there is no API for Fantasy Movie League. So I had to use a different approach there, and you mentioned it a minute ago, which is I had to do screen scraping. So how would you define screen scraping for someone who doesn't know what that is?
Well, I don't know if screen scraping is the same as the data scraping that I do, but usually what I do is I'll systematically download pages of HTML and then parse through the HTML for information.
That's exactly what it is.
You don't want to bomb a site with this because they'll get really mad at you and boot you off the site. But if you do it sort of like, you know, put a delay between your calls, or if you only grab a little bit of data, they usually don't mind.
Okay, so let's define another term here. HTML. You remember what that one means?
See, I know the acronyms, but I don't remember it all.
It's so baked into your head that you forget hypertext markup language.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
So anybody can see what this is. So if you're using like Chrome or Firefox, go to a web page and right-click on the page, and one of the items that will come up in the pop-up box will say View Page Source. If you click on that, it will show you the HTML for that page, and that's what we're talking about here. So you can write a program that grabs that HTML, and that HTML is usually really well structured. And if you understand the structure, you can go extract individual values from it. And like you just said, Austin, sites typically, if you hit it too frequently with requests for pages, they'll block you. Usually if you wait like a second or two in between requests, they'll let you get away with it. So what I did for top 100 is I wrote a little program and I scheduled its execution. Right now it's scheduled. It'll go execute at 9:03 a.m. on Friday morning. And what it does is it'll log into the Fantasy Movie League page and it'll go find the league since week one, and then it'll go and scrape those pages for what everybody's selections have been. It'll collect that data, and then it generates my own a couple of web pages that summarizes that data, and then it emails both Butters, myself, and Master 8. It emails them, it emails all three of us a link to the new page. So that whole processing takes about 3 minutes or so. So by about 9:05, by 9:10 on Friday morning, the three of us have a link to a custom page that's gone and counted up all this stuff already. So that way, those two guys, instead of spending time counting, they can go and spend more time analyzing what it really means.
Yeah, and I imagine that seeing those trends are a little bit more interesting as we get later into the season, because I feel like the cream of the crop sort of rises up into the standings generally, and you get maybe a more interesting taste of what some of the better players are doing. I'm not saying that, you know, all the best players are always in the top 100, but I think that those first couple of weeks you could have a handful of people that, you know, kind of got a little bit luckier. So I really enjoy seeing that top 100 data, especially as we get to the middle of a season or towards the end of a season. I sort of feel like at the beginning of the season, there's a handful of people that have made it into the top 100 that sort of forget to set their cinemas or maybe aren't quite as into it as the people who have managed to stay in the top 100 into the middle or late part of the season. So I really like looking at that report to see how I stack up against some of the other top players. I love reading that report.
So I just put the finishing touches on here over the weekend, so that automated system will be up and running for Butters beginning this Friday. Now, the other one I have coming is the Compare tool uses screen scraping techniques to go get stuff like the pricing or the long-range forecasts, or on Wednesdays when I run it, it goes and screen scrapes ShowBuzz Daily and ProBoxOffice.com for the weeklies. But the new site that I'm going to work on probably will be available sometime during the summer season is going to help, is like kind of a precursor to the Compare tool. So it'll be a tool that at the very least will help you try to find good comps for movies. Like what we're going to talk about here in a minute, wouldn't it be nice if you had a tool this week where you could find, you know, in the last 5 years, how many movies opened to just between 300 and 400 theaters. So instead of
that would
having
be awesome. That sounds like a great tool.
Instead of having to go and look through Box Office Mojo histories on your own, if you could have a tool that could help find those for you and then provide a link to go to those individual Box Office Mojo pages so that you could sort of do some additional discovery based on that. That's a tool I've been working on it in different ways since about January. This one is a little more complicated, so it's taken me a little bit longer. But when I have that available, you'll be able to do those sorts of things and come up with comps. It's a tool that won't make forecasts for you, but will help with the data collection so that forecasts are easier to put together.
Yeah, and some of these sites will put some comps on their site for you. Sometimes they have a special tab for that, like Box Office Mojo has like similar movies sometimes. But a lot of times it takes until later in the week for them to sort of populate that. And I don't always agree with their sort of assessment of what the comps should be. I wish it was like a longer list, and then I could sort of filter it down to what I think is actually valuable and applicable to this particular movie. So that sounds like an awesome tool. I look forward to that one.
So yeah, this will let you filter by like, maybe I just want to look at PG-13 movies that were in, you know, a certain range of theater counts, or maybe I want to look at, you know, the writer or the director or who's in it, or is it a comedy versus an action film versus what time of year it was released? So there's all these different filters that you can set, and then it will boil that down to showing you a scatter plot of dots that represent previous films that meet your current filters, and then based on that lets you enter in text what, you know, based on that data, what you think the forecast is going to be, and then taking all that and making it so it'll auto-populate the compare tool for you. So that's why it's taken so long.
That is fantastic. I'm glad that the self-proclaimed nerd of FML is not a phony. I think that you've got this pretty nailed down, buddy. Like, this is awesome. You're helping us out, making it fun, and living up to your name here.
So you don't think anybody's going to challenge me for the moniker is what you're saying?
You know, someone could try, but I think that'd be futile. I mean, you know, we saw a chatter thread recently about, you know, different bastards fighting each other out. You know, maybe there'll be more future battles like that on chatter, but I guarantee you that if it's a nerd battle, you've got it, dude.
Okay. Thanks, man. Thanks for having my back.
You're welcome.
let's turn to week 8 and let's talk about the new films. And you want to add a new feature to the podcast here and talk about returning films and which ones might be some best performer candidates. So what do you want to talk about first?
Let's see. Why don't we pick off a couple of the easy ones? I feel like there's 4 new movies on the slate, and 2 of them are not really playable, and 2 of them are quite interesting to talk about.
All right, go for it. Which ones aren't playable, you think?
Well, Box Office Mojo just released the theater count for Elvis and Nixon today, and it's at 379 theaters. I don't think that, unless it gets up over 500 theaters, I don't think it's in play this week. I have it pegged for about 2 million. I think the only reason you care about Elvis and Nixon is if you're in the 7X barbershop camp. I don't think you want to put on the 8th screen Elvis and Nixon. I think you want to put Batman versus Superman. Don't get lured into using all 1,000 of your fantasy bucks, because I think Batman versus Superman is going to make about double what Elvis and Nixon makes.
Yeah, the pricing there, $62 for a movie that's in that low theater count, makes that one difficult to justify. I agree with that. So that's the first one you think's not playable. What's the other one?
I think the other one is Miles Ahead, and now this isn't a release weekend for it, but it's the first time it's on the FML slate, and it's expanding to over 300 theaters. But I don't think that it's playable, because there's another movie at the same price that I think is way more playable than Miles Ahead. I don't know that Miles Ahead is even going to get to 1 million this weekend, and I think that it would have to get a little bit north of 1 million to even be a consideration.
Yeah, I'm not high on that one either. But let's talk about the other one that's priced there, Compadres.
That's the hot one this week, I feel like. There's a lot of really great, compelling cases in the chatter this week. Definitely go check out the chatter and see passionate pleas for various takes this week. But to me, the most compelling is Compadres. I think this is the bonus winner this week. What do you think?
It has a strong shot. So when I was looking for comps on this, and my tool didn't help me with this, because at least as I have it currently constructed in alpha stages, it doesn't go down to 350 theaters. But I found in 2003 there was a movie called Instructions Not Included, which was also released by Lionsgate and also to the mid-300s. It had an opening weekend in Mexico that was like 11 million, which for there, that's really high. In the U.S. in 2013, Instructions Not Included opened to 7.4 million on those 350 theaters. I think that's probably a little high for Compadres. It opened in March in Mexico to 3.6 million. And it appears to be kind of a buddy comedy where one guy's a cop and one guy's a hacker. I think it has a shot at me. I think it has a shot at 2 million is most of the stuff that I'm seeing people say in the chatter. And given its price, the value you would get there is pretty compelling.
Yeah, I think actually it was released in Mexico 3 weekends ago, and I think that 3.6 million number is 3 weeks worth of data.
Oh, is it?
I think its opening weekend in Mexico was only 1.7 million.
Oh, it was hard to find data, I'm going to trust you instead of what I found.
Well, it was tricky to find some data about the Mexican box office here, but I the number I found was 3 weekends ago. It opened at 1.7 million in Mexico. I still think that this movie makes – I've got it pegged at $1.3 million right now. But the thing is it's priced so low that it really doesn't have to even get to like mid-1 millions to be the bonus here. I feel like it's going to run away with it even at $1.3 million. There's a lot of other comps you can look at. I highly recommend you read the chatter thread called The Case for Compadres by CCR. That person broke it down really nicely. Has a lot of comps and had a lot of good points about the difference between movies that were sort of clearly targeting the Mexican audience versus targeting the American audience. And this one feels like a nice blend and kind of steers towards catering a little more to the American audience, which I think will lead to a little bit more box office success in the U.S.
Well, regardless, given its price, I think that's the low-end filler that you're looking at this week. I don't think anybody would advocate that you do eight screens of Compadres and, you know, leave 1,000 fantasy bucks unused. But it's definitely the low-end filler you want to look at pretty seriously this week.
Yeah.
Now, I think you and I are of the same opinion on our other new movie, because I think independently we wrote to each other how stupid we thought the Huntsman Winter's War looks.
Well, pretend you're a studio executive, Pete.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to pitch this to you. Hey, we had this great Snow White movie and it made a lot of money. I got an idea. Let's make a sequel, but here's the twist. Wait for it. Snow White isn't in it. How about that?
Yeah. It's a prequel, isn't it? But nobody aged except for Snow White, who I guess is a baby in it, and that's how they explain that she's not in it. And for some reason,
Clearly, I wasn't paying attention.
Well, and I guess Thor doesn't age over 18 years. Like, I don't know. None of it sounds good to me. The original opened in 2012 in June, though, to 3,700 theaters to 56 million. The long-range forecast for this guy is 28 million at, again, that 3,700 theaters. I don't think this one has a lot of upside. I may eat my words on it, but I think when we talk about returning film best performer candidates, there's better plays than this movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to make 25 million, but it's getting bad word of mouth. The reviews are really bad. You know, I think some people are arguing that because Kristen Stewart's not in it, you're not getting some of that. The Twihards aren't coming in. You know, it was kind of at the peak of her Twilight success when the first one came out. And it just feels like the prequel that no one really asked for. So I don't have high hopes for it.
Yeah, I don't either. I think there's a couple other movies you could play that are better suited or have better upside. So let's talk about some of the returning here. So I'm guessing that when you did some math like I did, the barbershop, and this is good, there's a lot of chatter thread about this as well. That's looking like it's in the driver's seat for best performer this week. If you look at the prior two films, they both took about a 40% drop in their second week. If you assume that that's going to happen for the next cut, you're looking at a value ratio of about 90,000 for The Barbershop. And if you compare that to if every other film that's returning that's been out for 2 weeks, if it drops the same this week as it did last week, there's pretty much no other movie that is in contention, with exception of The Jungle Book. And even that would have to be pretty aggressive. Would have to have a pretty aggressive staying power in order to challenge The Barbershop.
Yeah, I think Barbershop has the best staying power, and is probably the best value of the top three movies between Jungle Book, Huntsman, and Barbershop. It's not high enough for me to go 7 Barbershop, though. Like, I actually think it's going to drop a little bit more than the other Barbershop movies, just because it's kind of a sequel. I think it's going to be a little bit more front-loaded than people are expecting, but I still think it's a solid play. I just think it's the contrarian play. It's too high risk for me when I see... I don't think it's going to win the bonus this week. That's what's drawing me away from it.
See, I think it has a good shot at the bonus. Now, the pros may think otherwise when those come out tomorrow, but as I'm sitting here right now trying to make my own projections, which I usually don't do because I think it's really hard, it's looking pretty good to me.
Yeah, and I think that's the big... I think you basically have three core choices, I feel like, this week. Either you're going to go heavy on Compadres and pair that with like Jungle Book and Barbershop, or you're going to go 7 times Barbershop and throw in Batman Superman, or you're going to go risky with The Huntsman and think The Huntsman might make like high 20s, maybe even 30 million. And then you could do a couple Huntsmans in there and maybe pair it with some Compadres or something like that. Right. Those are kind of the three different views I'm sort of looking at right now.
Yeah, the ones involving The Huntsman, I think they're the least compelling, but the others, I'm on board with you.
Yeah, and I'm in that same boat with you on that.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it here for week 8 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. As always, you can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. How about yourself, Austin?
You can find me on Twitter at AustinNFL.
If you haven't won one of those FML t-shirts, of course, you can get your own at FantasyMovieLeagueShop.com. And you can find the league itself on Twitter at FML_movies and on Facebook under Fantasy Movie League. Good luck, everyone. Until next week.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at FantasyMovieLeague.com.